Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Chad Fulgham, Chief Information Officer at the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Also joining us today from IBM is Alan Heath. Chad, I talk with many of our guests about the use of collaboration and partnership among agencies and with the private sector to achieve mission results. Would you tell us how you're leveraging partnerships to improve IT operations or outcomes? And how do you envision these partnerships changing over time?
Well, given that the FBI has one leg over on the law enforcement side and one leg over on the intelligence side, we actually try to do quite a bit of information sharing with components in each of those areas. I sit down with the CIOs of the intelligence community, and we talk about how we can leverage each other's investments. If it's done in one place, do we really need to replicate that same whatever it is in 16 others? Probably not. The same thing within the Department of Justice. We the CIOs meet to try to figure out, you know, again, where we can leverage each other's investments, where we need to move data around for, you know, let's say one of the components collects it, but another one needs it for their mission. You know, how do we facilitate that? With industry, we do have programs around information security. The InfraGuard is a perfect one, a perfect example. Within the IT branch, one of the things that we're just starting now are we're calling Vendor Days. It's an easy way to put out a call in a very public forum to say, hey, look, you know, this is something that we're interested in pursuing. Anyone that has something to add, please come to this location at this date and this time. And show us your wares. We'll have IT engineers there, and then from there, we'll be able to down select certain solutions that we're going to bring into our labs.
Do you see collaboration and partnerships driving innovation?
Absolutely. You know, there is not enough IT investment at every single agency to do everything uniquely for themselves. You need to find those organizations that are passionate about something, that have demonstrated excellence and a willingness to share that either process or product or what have you. And I think that by getting these different organizations together, we can really figure out how to get the biggest bang for the buck for the resources that we do have.
Chad, given the Bureau's critical mission, it requires technical skills, expertise, and diverse competencies. To that end, what are you doing to ensure you have a well-trained and technical workforce to meet your mission challenges? And how are you expanding the IT workforce initiatives?
Well, the first thing I'll say is that the IT branch at the FBI is always recruiting. And we are looking for those individuals that can receive a top secret background and can pass a polygraph. And if you're one of those people, we invite you to come on down because we're a lot cooler than the CIA. But in seriousness, you know, we're always out there recruiting and we're trying to make sure we bring people in with the right skill sets. But that being said, you know, we also try to cross-pollinate between IT professionals and the people that we're trying to serve. So, you know, over the last 2 years, I've brought special agents into the organization, some that actually have good technical skills because they're cyber agents or tech agents, and some that we bring in just for their leadership skills or for their perspective on the solutions that we have either deployed or are thinking about putting out to solve different problems. And that cross-pollination has actually been quite successful. One of the things that we do within the branch is once a year, we hold a training event. And we move around the country so that people aren't always flying to one coast or the other. But we bring in about 50% of our IT specialists into one location to go over the mission, to go over the vision on where we're going, and to do hands-on training on the new gear that we're going to be rolling out in the next 12 months. And then those individuals are supposed to go back and train the people that didn't have the ability to come to that event. And so we hold it yearly, and so far it's been very successful.
So, Chad, along those lines, there's a perception that the government lags behind the commercial sector in technology innovation. First, do you think that perception is accurate? Second, how do you think government could enhance its position to become a leader and driver for innovative technologies?
Well, does the government lag in technology? In some areas, yes. In some areas, no. Unfortunately, the areas I think that were the most progressive and are the areas that would be very difficult to talk about on the program. But having been at the Bureau for 2 years, I have a much better appreciation for the capabilities that the intelligence community can bring to bear on issues that we face. In other areas, we do lag. The thing I attribute this most to, one is just a culture of, well, that's how we've always done it. And that's something that we've been trying to change over the last 2 years. And the Federal Acquisition Regulation, you know, and I know that people don't like to talk about it, but, you know, if you're a CIO and it takes you a long period of time to get something out for an immediate need, that's not optimal. When, you know, the interpretations of the FAR differ depending on who you ask, that's also probably not optimal because it just makes life very difficult to figure out, you know, what you can and can't do, what you can and can't say. Now, the FAR is there to try to provide an ethical way of doing procurement, an open environment, and that's admirable, but it does make life difficult as a federal CIO.
Well, Chad, I'd like to transition to the future. What are some of the major opportunities and challenges your organization will encounter in the future, and how do you envision your office evolving to meet those opportunities and succeed over those challenges?
Well, I'll tell you that the only constant is change. And at the FBI, it seems like we're given new missions and you know, new things to tackle almost on a daily or weekly basis. And so it's very difficult to try to predict exactly what we're going to be doing 1 year, 5 year, 10 year, 50 year from now. But I think that, you know, we have some great leaders at the FBI. We definitely don't have shy customers, so they're always willing to tell us what they like and what they don't like, and that's fantastic. What we really need to focus on are the people. We need to recruit more people. The FBI is facing the same challenges with retention that a lot of government agencies are. We have quite a few of our people that are going to be moving on in the next couple of years, and that's a pretty large void or opportunity. And that's something that we're going to really have to focus on is attracting the right people to come in and carry out the missions. And really, I think that the FBI is in a great position because we have such a great history. We have such a great reputation. We have great missions. And the FBI operates as a family. And so when you look at opportunities, when you look at culture, when you look at pride in what you do, hopefully we're going to attract some of the best and brightest.
Well, I want to follow up actually on the issue of retaining, retention, and recruitment. Are you working with the HR folks, the human resources folks within FBI specifically to attract the right people?
Yeah, so we do have obviously a centralized HR branch, but within each of the branches we have HR professionals. One of the things that we did about a year and a half ago is we put together our own recruiting team. Now, we did this in partnership with the HR branch, but we actually went out and canvassed our own people and we said, how many of you want to do your job and, oh, by the way, do more? How many of you want to be recruiters? We actually had a lot of people, and so we had to go through a screening process. We actually got down to five, and those individuals received specialty training from the HR branch on how to recruit and their different requirements. We sent them out to different career fairs. We sent them to universities. And we got more resumes of qualified people than you could shake a stick at. I'll tell you, though, that you know we were able to also change some of our own processes because normally you have a position, you have to identify a handful of people that are potentials because with the requirements of the background check and the polygraph, only a portion of those are going to make it through that process. But by trying to change it from, okay, you know, we're going to have four people in a row, and if number one has issues, then we'll go to number two, and if they have issues, then we'll go to number three, that's a very serial process. What we did is we created what we call the bullpen. And the bullpen was every qualified candidate that we had was put into one bucket. And as any of them passed, we picked them up And we put them in front of our top five people. I have three assistant directors, the chief knowledge officer, and my section chief for administration. And we try to match the person's background and their motivation with where we have the biggest critical hire within the branch. And by changing that process, we're able to put more people into seats and draw down our number of positions from a couple hundred to now to about two dozen.
Well, that's a wonderful segue into the next question that I have as we close our conversation today. What advice would you give a person who's interested in a career in public service?
Well, you know, there are a lot of opportunities to serve. I personally would recommend trying to find an organization or a mission that you really believe in, that you can be really passionate about. I get up every morning, I drive into work, and I'm thinking, I'm going to do this and this and this, and nothing classified, but I get home and I tell my wife about all the great things we're doing, and she makes fun of me because she says I sound like the Charlie Brown teacher. And but, you know, you have to have passion. I think after you do that, you can kind of research the skills and the experiences that you need to be, you know, one of the top tier candidates for that organization, for that role. And put yourself out there. You know, a lot of people are hesitant to apply to different agencies or different jobs. I've learned a long time ago that you lose 100% of the requests you don't ask. So you just need to go for it. And finally, you do have to understand that some of the government positions do require these background checks. And so I would recommend living a good, clean life and staying out of trouble. But there are sacrifices that come with service. But it's a wonderful, wonderful organization, the FBI is. You know, I love what we do. I love our people. I love our missions. And it's exciting to come to work every day.
Well, I want to thank you for your time today. But more importantly, Alan and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Well, I appreciate that. And thanks for having us. Hopefully, I was able to give you some information on what we've done over the last 2 years. Since I joined, and I think we have some really great things that are going to be coming over the next 12 to 24 months. The only thing I always like to end on is if you are in the military or if you're in law enforcement, I just want to thank you for your service and have a great day.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Chad Fulgham, Chief Information Officer at the Federal Bureau of Investigation. My co-host from IBM has been Alan Heath. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.